Hare Krishna. My sort of study, Bhagavatam study and Tattva Sundarbha took a detour over the last, I guess, couple of weeks. And because I bumped into the theme of the origin of the jiva and it's a subject that I never really studied directly per se. I read things here and there, but I never just sort of dedicated quality time to reading and studying. So I decided, okay, why don't I do it? And that's what I've done. Now I'm back to my Bhagavatam studies, although we have less than a week here in Mayapur. I'm going to Tirupati in Delhi and back to Hungary. And I found it quite interesting that this topic is not something that's directly brought up so much in Shastra. As, in other words, what is the origin of the jiva? Where does he come from? It's not like, who am I? What is the purpose of life? How is the material world created? What is the mantra for deliverance? So these are very thoroughly and repeatedly discussed in Shastra. And neither do Acharyas discuss this point. Not all Acharyas, but in general, Acharyas address it. It just seems to be a very either understood topic, certainly understood outside of ISKCON, but it's a very understood topic. Some Acharyas, and I'll discuss that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and of course Srila Prabhupada, have addressed the question directly. And in doing so, they've given two different types of responses. One is that we originally came from Vaikuntha, fell down from Krishna's association. And the other one is that no one falls from Vaikuntha, and that our origins is the Astatashta, marginal living entities from the Tatashta region, from Brahmajyoti. And of course there's a controversy within ISKCON, I don't know that it's a raging one at the present, but there's two opinions. And some years back, I think almost 20 years back, the GBC passed a resolution. And that resolution said that devotees can only preach and speak in class the Siddhanta that all living entities, everyone came from Vaikuntha. And the other is not allowed. I personally had trouble with that because it's not what I saw Srila Prabhupada had said, and neither in my studies did I see it what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said both things, interestingly. And the way some Acharyas speak, it's possible to interpret that they also said both things, although of course proponents will say no, they say this, or no, they say that. And what do I think, what do I say? I'm not going to divulge my own personal opinion, but my conviction is that Srila Prabhupada did say two things. And so for ISKCON to declare only one and even forbid the other, I have trouble in that it doesn't appear to be consistent with Srila Prabhupada, and of course that's not our goal, at least to me it doesn't. And I'll suggest a solution to that, and let's see how the GBC are willing to respond. There are GBC members who feel very strongly about both versions, and of course that's natural. And of course the argument is sometimes brought up within ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada's statement in regards to the us originating in Vaikuntha are more direct and stronger than those that we didn't come from Vaikuntha. I didn't find that. I find that Srila Prabhupada directly answers both questions in both ways. And he gives, or it has equal weight. His approach to both are of equal weight. They are found both in his books, his conversations, and so on. But what I did find was that when it comes to devotees personally asking him that question, when it comes to preaching, what people in the world outside, non-devotees, how he answers that question, it was consistent. We were with Krishna. Yes. I don't see why we in ISKCON can't be also doing both things. Prabhupada in his Bhagavatam wrote, no one falls from Vaikuntha. Some people ask, where it came from, and no one falls from Vaikuntha. Why just one? Why not both? I think that would be more harmonious. Of course, there could be a concern, oh, it's going to cause conflict, and it's so much conflict going on in this movement, so many different opinions of different things. But certainly the conflict if we don't do what Srila Prabhupada did. So in terms of our preaching, in terms of the new devotees, that's what we say, but in terms of the understanding that, but actually our origins may not be there, that should also be allowed for. And it's not that we don't do this with other points of philosophy. When we're asked in public, well, what do you think of other religions? Do they get the same result as you do? What did Prabhupada say? You follow your scripture? And anyone who follows their scripture, they will achieve the same result. What is our conviction? Well, that's not our conviction. Everyone doesn't go back to Goloka Vrindavan simply by following some other religion. Even in Vaishnavism, everyone doesn't go to Goloka Vrindavan. According to their practice, they get a different type of result. So there we believe different things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Krishna Samhita, he sort of correlated both modern history and modern astronomical understanding with the Bhagavatam's history, description of both history as well as the fifth canto. It wasn't his conviction, it's not our conviction, but he did it for a reason. It seems like he did it for the sake of preaching and relating the Bhagavatam to the Western mind so that the more important principles of the Bhagavatam could be accepted. So there are other things. What to speak of Jiva Goswami, writing the whole book in which in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is in Swakiya Vas, whereas his own conviction was, and he wrote that also, that no, Krishna is in Vrindavan, is Parakiya Vas. I mean, that's the Gopal Champu, that's the thrust of Gopal Champu. So, and there are so many examples, I'm sure devotees can also, and we juggle, we deal with these things, we juggle these things as our devotees and our society becomes mature. Devotees learn it philosophically, they can handle the unity and diversity, that there are not only diverse opinions as to how to preach and spread Krishna consciousness, but there may be diverse opinions about philosophical points. Why not? Why not? We can handle that. So, anyway, I'd like to propose that right now. GBC has got quite a few things on its plate, and I'm not going to add this on at present, but at a time, and at least to do justice to my conscience, I'd like to propose an amendment that would be more reflect with Srila Prabhupada's own teachings, and what seems like the thrust of the Gaudiya Vaishnava world naturally think. Whether we care what they think or not, we don't go to them for ideas about how to preach and so on. But Srila Prabhupada, anyway, had mentioned that, for instance, if you want to know about what philosophical conclusions are, specifically he mentioned his Godbrother Sridhar Maharaj. So, that's something that's on my mind. But now I'm back to Bhagavata. And it's nectar. In fact, I've got a new schedule where I'm just, as soon as I get up, I took a vow that as soon as I get up, I'm going to read two chapters. I'm reading two chapters of the Bhagavatam, just a translation. And I'm starting with the 11th canto. So that way, 355 chapters, so I'll get around to doing the Bhagavatam in 6 months. I may do it twice, so it'll be twice in 1 year. And third time, well, Prabhupada says if you do something, say something 3 times, it's yours forever. I'd certainly like to have the Bhagavatam mind forever. It's really wonderful. Any problems in spiritual life? Chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, there will be no more problems. Spiritual life, material life, it's an active. And it's probably something that too many devotees don't do enough of. Hare Krishna.